Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to our morning service and looking forward to a great week. This week is a special week because we have meetings not just on Sunday, but also on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with Evangelist Morris Gleiser. And so we're looking forward to having him with us, not just today, but throughout the rest of the week. Brother Braxton has some announcements, and then Pastor Josh will do our opening scripture reading.
Good morning. Hope you guys enjoyed the bright, sunny day today. A little different than we had this past week. Hope you're looking forward to this upcoming week. It is supposed to be really sunny, I think, most of the week as well. Exciting coming, kind of getting ready for the spring. But this week, we have the Gleiser meetings, our revival going on tonight. And then during the week, it'll be at 7. Tonight's at 6, the week at 7. Also want to make a note if you guys take the chance to look around back. We have the volleyball net up, so starting tonight following the revival services, we will be having the evening, I guess, play back in the fellowship. There's the word I'm looking for. Fellowship in the back of the property. Next week, we have the Lord's table, and then we also have senior luncheon, college and career, men's prayer breakfast, all not this upcoming Saturday or this upcoming week, but the following week. And so please be looking at the bulletin boards to sign up. Pastor Josh.
Our opening scripture reading is found in Psalm 143, and we will start in verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. Our focus of worship this morning is let's focus on our need for a renewed view of God.
Please let's all bow together for a word of prayer. And if you are visiting with us today, we're very thankful to have you. And if you'd like us to reach out to you sometime this week, take a moment to fill out a connection card that is either there in the pew in front of you or in a welcome packet that you received, and we will reach out to you. Please let's bow together for a word of prayer. Lord, we're so grateful for the Word of God, the opportunity today to have the Scriptures open before us. And as we just read from the psalmist, I pray that you would help us to understand your nature so much more clearly this week. Each morning service, each evening service, I pray that every time we gather together, we would focus our attention on a certain aspect of your character. And as we reflect on your goodness and your righteousness, your holiness, your compassions, your wisdom, as we focus in on these aspects of who you are, I pray that we would understand your character so much more clearly. And I pray that we would understand how we're supposed to live as your people in the light of the truth of who you are. I pray that this morning you would speak to us in a very special way. I pray that you would empower Brother Gleiser as he preaches the word. And I pray that our worship together would be very sweet, Christ-centered. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning, Anchor Baptist Church and esteemed guests. It's a blessing to see you out here joining us in person, and also for those joining us on live stream. We're going to start off our music service this morning. Turn to page 26 in the hymnal or watch the screen behind me. But please stand and let's warm up our voices, make a joyful noise, and give praises to God. Praise to the Lord Almighty. Page 26.
Oh,
29. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, page 29. Goodness, can't blame it on my glasses this morning. I'm wide awake. Page 25, praise the Lord who reigns above.
Praise.
scripture reading this morning. It's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 25. The scriptures say, "To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God, my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll turn to page 8 in our hymnals. Page 8. And okay, We're going to have to stand on this one, but not just for the song's sake. Please stand with me. At the end of the third verse, we're going to do our meet and greet. So just turn around and say hi to somebody. I've given you seven or eight ways of how to do it. And so I hope you remember. And if we've got some visitors, maybe you can enlighten them, educate them a little bit about how we do it. Page 8, glorious is thy name, all four verses. And at the end of the third chorus, turn around and greet folks.
Thank you.
remain standing. You'll need your blue book. If you're not going to follow along on the screen, you'll need your blue book and turn to page 105, right in the middle of the book. Page 105. For me to live is Christ, all four verses, and I'd ask the musicians, the instrumentalists, to bow out on the last verse. I mean, you guys are musicians as well as you're singing, so I don't want you to bow out on the last verse. So, for me to live is Christ.
My feet begin race with patience. Let us lay each weight aside, looking only unto Jesus. He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us. He has won the victor's crown. And he calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground.
God gives wings.
God gives wings as he goes. God gives wings.
Children who are junior church age can be dismissed to the back for your class, and I'm very excited about the evangelist that we have with us this morning, and that is Brother Morris Gleiser. And Brother Gleiser has been to Anchor several times over the many years. His son has also preached at evangelistic meetings that we've had, our spring meetings, our lit conference. And so if you're here for Sunday school, you're able to hear a little bit of a taste of what you're going to get throughout the week, but I hope that you'll just open your heart to the Word of God, and as Brother Gleiser opens the Word and preaches it, that the Lord will stir your heart and work in the way that He most is working in your heart. And I also want to encourage you, on Monday through Wednesday, we also have meetings. They'll be from 7 to 8 o'clock, and so I hope that you'll be able to come back for those meetings as well this week. Also, when we have an evangelist, one of the things that we do is one of the ways that we say thank you, and one of the ways that we honor them for having opened the Word to us this week is we give a love offering. And so if you'd like to participate in that, the box will be in the back after all the services. And just take a moment. And if you are giving for the love offering, you need to put that as a designation on a check that says this is for the evangelist love offering. And so please make sure that you do that. That'll be available each of the services in the back. So, Brother Gleiser, come up and preach the Word, brother.
Thank you. Well, hey, good morning to you. It is incredibly a great privilege to be here with you at Anchor Baptist for today and for the next two or three days together. And I've been grateful for all the praising of the Lord that we've been able to join our voices together in corporate singing and worship of our Lord. Great to see you. It really is a joy. I met many of you during the Sunday school time that we had together, that hour, and now, and then in between the two services, I met a few others of you. Thank you for coming this morning. If you happen to always be here, hope that you'll plan to be back tonight, would you, at 6 o'clock? In fact, we decided during the Sunday school time that tonight is the most important service of all that we're going to have. You say, why? Well, I don't have time to explain it right now. Well, you just come back tonight at 6 o'clock. It's the most important one. And when you come tonight, we'll talk about Monday night, okay? So just take it one service at a time. Don't let anything keep you from being able to come. I hope that you'll plan to be here for all the services. You say, well, you've got an ulterior motive, don't you, Gleiser? I really don't. I want our days to be fulfilled for the glory of Almighty God. And I want to get to know you, and I would love to be able to take the Word of God and begin to open it up to you, service after service, and to be a source of encouragement to you individually and to the whole church corporately. You say, well, I'll have to come straight from work. Yeah, I know, and I'm sorry if you have to meet the rest of your family here and you come in two vehicles. I know that can sometimes be a hassle, but don't let it be a hindrance. Let it be a tool just to get here. Just plan to come. And you say, well, I may have to walk in late. It's okay. Walk in late. It won't bother me. It won't be an issue. If you have to walk in And you'll say, well, I'll be in my work uniform. I love it because many times when people come from work, they have to wear a sweater or a shirt that has their name embossed on there. That really helps me a great deal. So that's okay. Come in your uniform. You say, you don't mind if I walk in late? No. In fact, what I'll do when you walk in, I'll just stop what I'm doing. I'll say, hey, everybody, here comes somebody, and we'll all turn and look at you. We will not do that. It's amazing how many times people get engaged with someone walking in. They turn and they watch them walk like, I didn't know Leroy could walk. Look at there, you know? So you come in. I won't bother you. I promise. You just come on in and plan to be here with us, okay? Glad you're here this morning. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Philippians in the New Testament, Philippians. And you can get chapter 3 opened up in front of you if you would. Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to go this morning. And as we take a look at this scripture, I couldn't help but notice that last song that we sang together, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, that comes from the book of Philippians. You may have were thinking that too as you were singing it. That came from chapter 1 where Paul, the human author of this letter, expressed to the church at Philippi, he said, I know that you're thinking that I'm going to die in this prison. He was in a Roman prison. It's called a prison epistle. And he was saying, I might. I just might. But he says, it's okay. He was writing to friends. He said, it's okay. He said, because to me, well, to live is one focus, Christ. We, in our English grammar, we added those words like is, for me to live is Christ. When Paul wrote it originally, he said, for me to live, Christ. It was a pointed statement. And then he says, but hey, look, he says, if I die, gain. You can't defeat a person whose philosophy is that. I hope it'll be more than just a song that we sing. Paul, the human author, guided by the Spirit of God, writing this letter to the church at Philippi, as I said a while ago, was writing to friends. He loved these people. He knew them, many of them. He knew them in the fact that he had probably been instrumental in leading some of them to Jesus Christ. For example, when Paul and Silas, you can read this back in Acts chapter 16, when he went to this land of Philippi, this area of Philippi, he was told that there were a group of ladies gathering down by the riverbank, and they were having a prayer meeting. They were seeking God. Well, Paul and Silas didn't have to be pushed to that. They said, let's go. They went down there. They met a lady by the name of Lydia. She was a businesswoman, a business person. And they went down there. She was probably very wealthy because she sold purple dyed garments. Well, you had to be pretty wealthy to buy purple dyed garments. And so she probably had a larger house that the church originated at. They probably met in Lydia's home. Well, anyway, yeah, the Bible tells us in Acts 16 that Paul gave her the information about Jesus Christ and her heart turned to the Lord. She's in this church. Later on, Paul and Silas were walking around in Philippi, and a demon-possessed girl was trekking along behind them and were mocking what Paul was preaching and saying. Paul had finally heard enough. He turned and he looked at that girl and he said, by the power of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And the demon came out of that girl and she collapsed. She was making money for people who were using her as some kind of a soothsayer, someone who was going to read the palms or whatever the case may be. And she collapsed. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that she became a believer in Jesus Christ. But come on, she'd been saying the words that Paul had been preaching. She heard the gospel. And I can imagine that Paul and Silas took time to introduce her to the Savior of her soul. She more than likely was a member of this church in Philippi. Later on, Paul and Silas were put in a Philippian jail. And the Bible says that they sang praises at midnight. And they were praying to God. That's what you'd do if you were in jail, right? Amazing. These two guys were praising the Lord. And the Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. Well, the Lord heard them too. And the Lord shook the ground. The prison doors began to open up. And the prison guard, a Roman who thought my head will roll for letting prisoners escape, he took his own sword and was about to take his life when Paul said, No. Don't take your life. We're good. We're all here. All the prisoners are here. And that prison guard came down there in front of Paul and Silas and said, boys, I don't know what you've got, but I need it. What must I do to be saved? I want what you've got. And Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you too will be saved, and your house. And they took him down to the prison guard's home. The whole family got saved that night. Man, what? They're in this church. Isn't that something? I love the church. It's made up of business workers, people who work maybe for the government, and formerly demon-possessed people. I mean, don't look around at anybody and say, I think he's talking about you. No. I love the local church made up of people from all walks of life. Hey, don't allow Anchor Baptist Church to become snooty, snotty, and sit around and say, we have arrived. No, you haven't. Not till we get to glory will any of us arrive. You take people where they are and introduce them to Christ and watch them develop in their journey with the Lord. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Philippi, and we come to the dead center of the letter, chapter 3. And it's as if Paul is going to stop and just simply give a testimony of his life. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to testify about his own life. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says this, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You know that's the theme of the book of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. In other words, he was saying, it's not hard for me. It's not difficult for me to do this. But for you, it is safe. It's important to repeat this, he said. Beware of dogs. He's talking about people. Vicious people. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In these few verses, Paul is expressing the testimony of change that had taken place in his life. You know, changes are happening around us every day. And if you've lived very long, you know it's true. Our world is in the process of continual changing. It's disturbing. It's bothersome. It's heart-wrenching. We don't live in Mayberry anymore in America, do we? I mean, the truth is, our culture has gone through a great number of changes. And if you watch a lot of news, which I do not recommend, cable or national media, if you watch a lot of news, you'll get headline hysteria, to tell you the truth. You'll become greatly disturbed by the continual changes in our culture. There's cultural changes. Laws change all the time. People change. Churches change. Schools change. Individuals change. You know it's true. Now look, most of those changes, as I've expressed it, are changes that we don't really enjoy. We kind of look down our noses. We don't like things to change. We want them to stay the same. But there's a lot of changes that are good. You know, truthfully, I was thinking, traveling down the highway yesterday, I was thinking there was a day in which we didn't have the highway system, you know, and the roads weren't well taken care of and that sort of thing. And that's a good change. It really is. Hey, I called my grandson not too long ago. The last time we talked to him, he talked like this. And then all of a sudden we got on the phone with him. He said, "Hi, Papa, how are you?" And I said, What did you do to my grandson? What happened to your voice?" I gave a few minutes and it went back. "Hi, Papa, I'm just playing. I'm just sitting here playing baseball," you know, as the voice was going through the change. That's normal and it's good and it's right. It's okay. Some changes are good. You know, I mean, I like it when a church sometimes does some remodeling. It's not cheap, but I mean, sometimes they go through some physical changes. Those are good. There's some changes we don't like. There's some changes that are really good. I can remember when I was a kid coming to church. I used to sit in church. It was before we had children's church services and things like that. And I between Sunday school and church, I got permission from my parents to walk over to a little convenience store right next door to our church. It was a 7-Eleven. I walked in that and I bought, I'm going to date myself, I bought a little packet back when they made them in little packets of sweet tarts. You know, now they come in these long tubes, but I bought this little packet of sweet tarts for 5 cents. Oh, young people, I'm a dinosaur. I got it. But I mean, I would buy that little packet of sweet tarts and I'd put it in my pocket. And I'd sit there, and because I didn't understand what the preacher was preaching on, I'd sit there in church, and it kept me going. I would just eat, I'd eat a little sweet tart, you know. And I got so good, I didn't even have to look to see what color it was. I knew, oh, that's a raspberry. Oh, there's a grape, you know. You know, I could just tell, you know. They got me through when I was a little kid. But there came a time when I didn't want sweet tarts anymore. I was hungry for something else, for the food of the Word of God. I don't remember how old I was, but all of a sudden, what the pastor was preaching on was nailing me and helping me and strengthening me, and I got interested, and I was taking notes, and I was listening to what he had to say. I was hungry, not for candy, but for the truth of the honey of God's Word. That's a good change. And what Paul is declaring here in Philippians 3 is his own personal testimony. Now, we're going to get to the meat of this text here in just a moment. But did you notice what he describes for us the three elements of his testimony? And everyone who has a testimony for the Lord has these three elements. The first part is what you were, what I was before Christ, B.C. Volume 1 is B.C., before Christ. And then the second part of the testimony is how he came to Jesus Christ, B.C., and how he came to Christ. Now, at that point, many of us stop. But a testimony for the Lord doesn't stop. And a lot of times we say, yeah, there's going to come a day when in the future, either by God taking me through rapture or by death, I'm going to be with Him in glory. And that's wonderful. There is the positional change that took place when you came to Christ. And someday there'll be the perfected change that'll take place when we get to heaven. And it's going to be glorious. It'll be wonderful. But friends, Paul is going to describe a continual, progressive change that takes place between this spot and that perfected change in the future. There is the positional change, there is the progressive change, and there is the perfected change that's going to take place in glory someday. The truth is, Paul talks about what he was like before Christ. And I may be looking at somebody this morning, because I don't know your heart, this may be where you still are. We all start here in life before Jesus Christ. No, I didn't say that you don't know about Him, that you don't sing about Him, that you don't read about Him, but you've never come to Him. Paul said there was a day that he was, now don't miss this, he says, I was really a good person. I was religious. I had all my I's dotted and every T crossed and everything was going great. He called himself the Hebrew of Hebrews. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a blue blood Jewish boy. He was what you'd call homeschooled. And I mean that. He had been educated in the things of the Old Testament. He was well educated. Some have said that Paul, if he was alive today, possibly would have been the equivalent of three doctorates in his life. He was a brilliant man, a lawyer-like individual. All of that was in his life. He said, I was of the tribe of Benjamin. What does that mean? Well, he says, I came from one of those two tribes that stood with King David. Benjamin and Judah stood. And when the kingdom divided, I was still there with David in the area of Jerusalem. His name was Saul, not Paul. We know him as Paul. He was named probably after the very first king of Israel, who was from the tribe of Benjamin, Saul, King Saul. He goes, man, I got a rich history. And he says, when it came to religious zeal, man, I was all in. I wasn't half in, half out. He said, I was zealous, persecuting the church. I mean, I was all in as a religious person. I was sincere, but I was sincerely wrong. He said, I started looking at my ledger, my religious spiritual ledger, and he said, I looked at everything that had been a part of my life, everything that I had done to have a relationship with Jehovah God, and he said, it was like refuse, waste, garbage. It was of no value. And he said, then I came to Christ. Did you see? Did you see what he said? Go back to our text and notice he said in verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Verse 9, and to be found in Him. Folks, he's talking about a positional change that took place. He said, I was outside of Him, and then I became in Him. So let me just cut to the chase. Can I say that like this? Hey, when, I don't mean the exact date, that's not my point, but when in your life did you recognize, I've got all this in my life, but I do not have a relationship with God by way of Jesus Christ? When did you step into a relationship with Jesus? We call it being saved. We call it being redeemed. We call it being rescued. We call it being translated from one kingdom to another. And that's exactly what happened. Anyone who knows Jesus Christ has made a positional change in their life. You say, Morris, I don't remember the exact date. I'm not asking for the exact date. But do you know that there's been a time in your life when you saw yourself a good person, maybe, a church-attending person, but you never went to God by way of Jesus Christ and said, I need You in my life? Paul declares here, there was a day that now I can say, I will be found in Him. There was the positional change, but it didn't stop there. Paul said there was more movement that needed to take place and changes that needed to take place in my life. The preacher of yesteryear, a man that I've read from a great deal, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, was a brilliant-minded man who people came from miles around to hear preach. With his Welsh background and the sound in his voice, he would preach and hold thousands of people spellbound by his declaration of the Word of God. Someone wanting to write a book about his life went to observe and to get close to Lloyd-Jones for a while to learn some things about him so they could write it down. They said at the end of a service, Martin Lloyd-Jones would stand at the back, as many pastors do, and would greet the congregation as they would go by and shake their hands. And there was a long line of people, this man wanting to take notes of Lloyd-Jones and what he was like, stood around and listened to him and listened to the people. He said one by one, the crowd of people came by. And they said the same things to him that they say to pastors this day. They said things like, "Pastor, I don't know how you knew I needed that, but boy, I tell you, I sure needed that message today." The next person came along, "Pastor, would you pray for our family? We're really going through it. Really need your prayers. Hey, Pastor, thank you for guiding us through this passage of Scripture. It's really been a help to me. Pastor, I don't know, you must have been sitting out in front of my house this week just watching me. Boy, did that ever penetrate my heart." And the man wanting to write a book about Martin Lloyd-Jones sat there and he wanted to know, how did the doctor, how did this brilliant mind, how did he respond to every single person as they walked by? He said the same thing to every single individual. No matter what they said, he said the same thing to each one of them. There's a long line of people. Here's what he said. "Keep moving. Keep moving." And I got tickled like a couple of you did. He was thinking, I got a long line of people here. Keep moving, man. Keep moving. Keep them doggies rolling. You know, keep moving. He wasn't talking about physically keep moving. He said, regardless of where you are spiritually, regardless of what your need is, keep moving. If you're a newborn believer, keep moving. If you've known the Lord for years, keep moving. You can call it growing. Peter talked about it. He said, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep moving. Well, Paul is going to say here in Philippians 3, as he's giving his testimony of what he was before Christ, how he made the positional change to be in Christ, what's happened since then? Notice in verse 10, and here's where we'll park. He says, that I may know him. Friends, let me tell you what the word is that we're talking about here. He's talking about sanctification. Now, that's a word that preachers use all the time. What is sanctification? It's actually the cutting into two parts. It's the idea of the removal of those things that are weights in your life that are hindering your spiritual progression. But there's the positive element of sanctification, of what you add into your life to become more Christ-like. Paul is saying here, my sanctification is this, that I may know him. Let me tell you what he was saying. He says, I want to keep moving in my pursuit of him. That's what he said, that I may know him. If you don't get anything else this morning, get this. Paul was a believer. He had been a convert for 30 years, at least, by the time he writes this letter. He's not saying, you know, I just came to Christ and, boy, there's just so much more for me to learn about him. And, boy, I tell you, I've got so many things I need to glean from his truth of his word to understand. He was saying, I, even though I've been a convert for 30 years, there is so much more for me to know about him. I want to know him. I want to pursue him. I want to keep moving in my pursuit of the Lord. It was not enough to Paul just to make a positional change. It was not enough for Paul to say, I've been converted to Christ. No, he said, I want to pursue Him. I want to know Him like never before. You've heard it before, haven't you? Back in the old days. Well, I keep telling these old stories that just really date me. People would see some young couple riding around town, some small village or some community or some sort. This was before seat belts. And what would you see? A young couple, you'd see that girl that was dating that guy sitting right up next to him in his old pickup truck, driving down the road, going to go pick up an orange or a root beer or something, you know, driving down the road. And you'd see them drive by and they go, ah, look at there. Oh, Hubert and Bertha are really getting close, aren't they? Now, if your names are Hubert or Bertha this morning, I'm just borrowing the names. I don't know of anybody. Yeah, look at them. They're getting close, aren't they? And then after time, they get married. And you know the old story, the old preacher story. After years go by, she's sitting over there on the other side looking out the window, and she just watched a Hallmark movie, and she's gotten all romantic, and she says, you know, Hubert, we're not as close as we used to be. And what does he say? I ain't moved, you know. I mean, he's sitting in the same old spot. Here's the point. Maybe there was a day when it was really obvious you were pursuing the Lord. You were thirsting after Him. And people could see it. People could hear it. People could visualize it in your life. There was advancement. There was growth. The Apostle Paul was saying, I want to know Him. He didn't say, I want to know about Him. He didn't say, I want to know of Him. Paul didn't want a preposition between him and the Lord. He says, I want to know Him. It's like the old preacher said yesteryear, that he said, we ought to be so close to the Lord while here on earth that when we get to heaven, when we audibly hear His voice for the first time, we could say, I know that voice. He's talked to me before. I fear that too many Christians may have to introduce themselves. I say it tongue in cheek. I say to you this morning that the fact is, when you've been united to Him, and that's what happened when you came to Christ. We were baptized in Him. We were resurrected in Him. When you made this positional change, you became united in Him. Friends, the Lord is not a hotel room that you go and visit occasionally. That you go and sit down in and kind of get acquainted with the surroundings. You've become family. You've become adopted into His family. You're not a tenant. We are His child. You don't just think about God. You don't just sing about God. We don't just read about God. We don't just hear about God. Paul said, I want to know Him. I want to be with Him intimately, intentionally. What did the old prophet Micah say? He said in Micah 6 and verse 8, He has showed you, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee. What's that? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is going to require effort. You may have to get away from your phone, your computer, your social media, and walk with God. Paul said, I want to keep moving in my pursuit of Him. He is of surpassing value over everything. He is of greater value than everyone. And He wants you to spend time with Him. He says, I want to keep moving in my knowledge of Him, my pursuit of Him. But number two, look at verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of his resurrection. Paul said, I don't want to just keep moving in my pursuit. I want to keep moving in the power from him. He says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. You know, you go ask a small youngster, what's the most powerful creature on earth? And you know, they're going to come up with some Marvel or DC cartoon character. Superman. You know, Batman. Who, by the way, doesn't have any superpowers at all. If you really study it out, he does have a cool car, but he has no... Okay. Captain America. Thor. Pastor Josh. You know, some great, powerful... You know, he actually asked me to say that. You go ask a child what's the most powerful. You go ask a junior higher or a high schooler who's got a little geekiness to him. They go, no. The most powerful force is gravity. Well, it is very powerful, no question. Somebody else comes on and says, no, it's not gravity. It's nuclear force. And that would be true. That's at this point. In our human vantage point, the most powerful force on this earth. But none of those things. They all absolutely collapse in the presence of, what did he say? The power of his resurrection. What could be more powerful than coming back to life? After being dead, you just meditated and were preaching on that message and learned from that message last week. Paul was saying, I want to know about that kind of power. Okay, put it on the bottom shelf. What's that got to do with me and you? Paul said, I want to know the kind of power that I can live through the Christian life by knowing more and more of the power of his resurrection. Psalm 33 and verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord, by his word, the heavens were made. He spoke and all things came to be. In Genesis, the Bible says, it almost sounds like an afterthought. It's not, but it almost sounds like an afterthought when the Bible says in Genesis 1, and he made the stars also. Pardon me? On a clear night when you don't have any exterior light bothering your view, have you ever taken a look at the stars? Oh yeah, he spoke and all that came to be. Paul said, he rose from the dead. I want to know about that power. What does that got to do with me and you? The power of God over temptation. He provides power over sin habits. He provides power over the fears and anxieties of day-to-day living. He provides power for your testimony to have an impact and an effect on those inside your house and outside your house. Paul says, I want to know about that power. The power to effectively witness. The power to boldly pray and to see answers to prayer. I want to know about that power to live godly. I want to know about that power when facing the trials of day-to-day living. Paul said there is a lot more. I want to keep moving in the pursuit of him. And I want to keep moving in the power of from him that I can know. I want to know what it is to have the hand of God upon my life. That's what he's saying. Are you just kind of getting by in life? We'll just keep getting by until we get to heaven. Oh, that's going to be wonderful when we get to heaven and things will be perfected and changed permanently. But until then, the changes are supposed to increase and continue. Not just this change, but steady, progressive change, continual. He says, I want to keep moving in my pursuit of him. Secondly, in the power from him. Thirdly, look at verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Paul says, I want to keep moving in my partnership with him. I don't have time to preach this, but Paul was saying, I have changed to understand God better through the sufferings of life. And he was saying, because I've been broken, because of the suffering in my life, I've come to know a fellowship. I've come to know a partnership with God that was previously unknown. That's what he's saying. Nobody enjoys the trials of life, but Paul was saying, I want to keep moving in my partnership with him. You see, when you are self-sufficient, it's almost as if the Lord is an afterthought in your life. When you got everything figured out in your own strength, but when God strips you of self-sufficiency and you have a sense of insufficiency in your life, you're going to come to know the Lord like you've never known Him before. There was a change that took place in Paul's life that led to a greater linkage and a greater worship of the Lord, a partnership. The Lord allows crises into our lives to truly get us to know Him as never before. Much good takes place through those trials. Paul says, I want to keep moving in my pursuit of Him. I want to keep moving in the power from Him. I want to keep moving in my partnership with Him. And if I can just cut to the last part, can I get you to see verse 13? He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. What is he saying? He says, I haven't reached everything I've wanted to reach while I'm walking on this earth. I'm not everything I want to be, brethren. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, that would be victories and that'd be losses. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Stop right there. The word press means I lean into. I am pursuing the moral and spiritual target. I press toward. It means I'm bearing down on a target. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's what Paul was saying. He's saying, I want to keep moving in my perspective toward Him. No, friends, it wasn't that Paul was not thinking about heaven. It was not that he was never thinking about when this is all over with and the nitty-gritty of day-to-day living is over with, oh, we'll be in the sweet by and by. It's not that he never thought about being with the Lord. He says, I want to keep moving in my perspective toward Him while I am pursuing Him and feeling the power from Him and knowing the partnership with Him. I want to keep my perspective on Him. What's that? Well, it's like what Martin Luther once said. Martin Luther said, I have 2 days on my calendar. Today and that day. I'm looking forward to that day when I see the Lord. And here's what Paul was saying. Here's what every growing, strengthening, abiding Christian ought to say. I want to live in such a way during these days that when I see Him, I will hear Him say, well done. You ran your race. You finished your task. You did what I wanted you to do. You kept moving toward me. You kept your perspective on me. You know, there's music that often gets sung, and I don't mind it. I can get a little of it every once in a while and get my taste for it. That is, it's called Southern Gospel music. And it can be really moving and can be emotional. But most of those good songs have to do with this part of a person's life. When I got saved. That's good. It's sweet to talk about that. Or it's about when we get to heaven. Most of those songs have those two elements in it. They don't sing much about what happens between this point and that point. Paul said, I want to keep my perspective on Him, toward Him, for Him. I'm going to be with Him. He was saying, I'm living in light of eternity. I want to live in light of the fact that I'm going to face God. It changes my whole perspective. Here's what he was saying. I want to please Him. I want to honor Him with my life. I'm going to see Him. It may be soon. So I want to live today where I will not be ashamed. What did Paul tell his friend Timothy? He said, Timothy, study. That means be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, to be a vessel fit, developed for the master's use, that you'll not be ashamed. Paul says, I don't want to be ashamed when I see you. I want to keep moving in my perspective toward Him. We have two sons, as I've mentioned to you. One day, many years ago, we told our son that it was time to get ready for bed. You know, is there a boy in the whole wide world who likes to go to bed? I don't know of any. But I mean, when you were a young little munchkin, we told our boy it's time to get ready for bed. Get your room cleaned up, get your jammas on, and get ready to collapse into bed. Well, he didn't move very fast, and he started taking care of a few things in his room, put in a closet, and started playing with toys that he had been playing with earlier during the day and so forth. And he was just sort of piddling around. I walked by his room and I said, son, you've been told, get this room cleaned up and get ready for bed. And he could tell by the look in my face and the tone of my voice, I wasn't playing. This is it. Last warning. Get it cleaned up. All of a sudden, boy, he saw, he started throwing things into the closet and putting things up, found his little brother buried underneath everything, and just started putting, got his jammas on and got everything in its proper place. And then he came and found me. He said, Daddy, come here. And we walked down the hall to his room. He said, Daddy, look. As we stood in his room, he said, Daddy, look. You know, like one of those hostesses on TV. It's a new car, you know. I mean, my son said, Daddy, I don't watch those shows. I don't have time to watch those shows. I've just seen commercials. Anyway, he says, Daddy, take a look. And I said, did you do this by yourself? He said, uh-huh. Yes, sir. I said, you got this room. Your mom didn't help you? He said, no. He said, I did it. And then he said something that knocked my socks off. He said, does it make you proud of me? How do you squeeze a little kid tight enough to let him know how proud, pleased you were for his obedience? I wanted to squeeze him so tight his eyeballs bulge out of his head, you know? I made a big deal to do about his obedience. I said, I'm so proud of you, pleased with you. Went to his room, had time in the Word of God, had prayer, and he was asleep in no time. After a bit, I walked by his room and I looked in there and saw him. I could tell he was sawing logs. He was out. So I walked over in the quiet shadows of his room. I got on my knees before he was laying there. I gently put my hand on him. And in my heart, I prayed this. Father, my little boy wanted me to be proud of him. And I want you to be pleased with me too. When I see you, I don't want to be ashamed. That's what Paul's talking about. Keep moving. Somewhere along the way, we hit the brake. Somewhere along the way, the emergency brake slips in. Somewhere along the way, we slip into neutral. Paul said, no. Oh, it was a great day when I recognized I'm outside of Christ and I stepped into Christ. But until I get to heaven, I want to keep moving. Is that happening for you? How's your testimony this morning? You need to talk to your Lord about it? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heads bowed. Whether you know me or you don't, I want you to know that I have no desire to be an arm-twisting evangelist. I'm not a brow-beating preacher that's going to make you do what I think you're supposed to do. But I do want to give people opportunity to respond to their God, to their Lord. There could be someone here in this room that would say, Mr. Preacher, I've never made that first initial change, that step of being outside to inside Christ, to be with Him, in Him. You may say, I've got religion in my life. I've lived a good life, or I've got time for this later on. But you say, but Morris, I got to be honest with you. As I sat here this morning, I realized I'm not where I need to be. And you'd say, you know, preacher, I sure would like to get some help about this. Well, I don't blame you. And you're among friends. We'd love to talk to you today before you leave. Maybe somebody you know, if you want to talk to me, we'd love to introduce to you the greatest friend you could ever have, and that is the Lord Jesus Himself. Please don't go away with questions about your eternal destiny. But child of God, this morning, this message for you, did the Lord remind you of something? Now listen, did the Lord remind you of some things that need to keep moving and progressing in your life? You got saved a while back. Are you still moving? Are you still progressing? Are you still advancing? How many this morning would say, Preacher man, I don't know about anybody else in my family. I don't know about anybody else sitting on my row. I don't know about anybody sitting in my section. But you'd say, Brother Morris, I needed this message. I needed the reminder of it. God challenged me. God spoke to me. And he now there's no trick behind this question, okay? Please understand. I'm not a trickster. But you'd say, Morris, I needed this reminder today. God spoke to me in a specific way. I needed this. And I want you to know God challenged me. If that's so, would you lift up your hand across the room? You'd say, God challenged me today. He spoke to me today. He really did. Just hold him up there. Would you say, God challenged me today? Super, wonderful, many hands. Would you stand with me? Let's all stand. Let's all stand this morning. And you can look this way. Again, I failed to ask your pastor about how to conduct the invitation, so can I just do something gently with you here this morning? An invitation, what's that? Well, you know what an invitation is. It's an invite to do, to come, to do whatever you've been invited to do. Now, can I just ask you to respond? If the Lord spoke to you today, if all you heard was a declaration of verses, and you could say, I got informed this morning, well, you know, I'd want to say, I want to be transformed by the Word of God, not just informed. Can I encourage you to consider a couple of things? Maybe you'd like to get on your knees. Again, I'm not going to be some guy that's going to hold a gun to your head and say, it's got to be done this way or we'll be here till 3 p.m. No, no. If you'd like to get on your knees, find a place to get on your knees. It doesn't have to be here at the front. It can be there at your pew or off on the aisle somewhere, whatever. You say, Morris, if I got down, someone would have to help me get back up. I get it. Maybe you just like to lean over the pew in front of you and make that your place to respond to the Lord. You may want to sit down and do that. But don't stiff arm, don't shove the Lord aside. You let Him finish the work that He's doing. Tell Him what He spoke to you about today and say, God, I needed that. I'm going to pray. After I pray, our heads will stay bowed. The musician will begin to play whatever has been chosen. And you don't have to worry about singing. If someone wants you to sing later, so be it. But I'm just going to let the music play in the background. You take some time to spend some time with your Lord. And leave today knowing that you heard from the Lord and you talked to the Lord about things as well. Would you do that? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for these my new friends and folks that I've known for a few years. I pray that in a special way you'll help us to learn from the testimony that Paul gave of that continual progressive change that took place in his life. May it be said of us that there is steady growth that others can see and that we'll even testify about. And may we grow in the pursuit of you, partnership with you, the empowerment from you, and a perspective to see you someday. God, help it to be more than an outline. Let it be the truth and reality of our life. We ask it in your glorious name. Heads are bowed. Would you respond to your God as she begins to play right now? Find that place to pray. God bless you. If we can help anybody, you let us know, would you? I'm not going to re-preach the sermon. You do what you need to do this morning. Folks praying all over. Would you join them if you need to?
Pastor. Just a moment, we'll close in prayer and then we'll sing a closing hymn. But if there's someone here who's never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you, don't leave this place with questions in your mind. If you don't know for sure what Christ has done for you and how you can respond to that by placing your faith in Christ, please shake Brother Gleiser's hand, shake my hand, speak with someone, and you say, well, okay, I'll send you an email this week. Well, send it on Monday morning. Send it as soon as you get in your car, whatever. I would love to set up a time to sit down with you and explain to you how you can be saved. And maybe the Lord's spoken to your heart about something specific and you need to set up a counseling time. There's time this week. Brother Gleiser's going to be here each day. Obviously, we're going to be here in the office. I guess I'm not working this week because I'm not preaching. So if you want to meet with me this week, I got time, right? So please do not hesitate to reach out. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, and then we will sing a closing hymn. Father, as we think about the Word of God, such simple truths, yet so very, very important, there must be a time in our life that we have turned to you in childlike faith and trusted the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, where his righteousness has been imputed to us and we stand justified in his presence. If there's anybody in this place that does not have that confidence that they are righteous in Christ and forgiven, I pray that this week they would reach out to us. Even today, before they leave, they would reach out. And Father, we think about this encouragement to keep moving in the Christian life, to grow into Christ's likeness, to put off, to put on, to know you personally. I pray that you would speak to our hearts about this matter. And I pray that you will work in our hearts throughout each of these services we will have over the next few days. Pray that you'll bless us as we head to our separate places. May we ponder these things throughout the day, and may you continually stir our hearts through that. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Hymn 44 is what we will close with. To God be the glory, and I'd like us to sing each of those verses together. 44, let's really sing it out, please. To God be the glory.
Praise.
Weiser, if you could stand in the back so people can come by and greet you. Here we go.
Great things He has taught us, great things He has done.
Close out. Let's go ahead and bow together for a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we pray that you will take the word of God as it has been simply and straightforwardly laid before us, and may we not just hear the word, but may we take action upon these truths. May we respond to the word of God by submitting to your purposes for us. In Christ's name, amen.